Dit is SBS Dutch. Op sbs.com.au/dutch staan nog meer interessante verhalen.
Kate, congratulations on winning the 2024 Hazel Rowley Literary Fellowship.
Thank you very much, Pauline.
That's a big help for your next project, I reckon.
Yeah, it will be. Yes, it's a very generous fund, and I'll need it to be able to go to the Netherlands and also to London.
Yeah, well, that sounds very exciting, and we would like to know all about it. You're going to do research about this very intriguing lady, Dutch lady.
Yes, a Dutch lady called Marguerite Wolters. And I only just came across her really accidentally in research for my last book, which was about Bennelong and Arthur Phillip, the first governor of New South Wales. And I think most Australians will know that the story of Phillip is that he's the first governor who comes with the first fleet in 1788. And then, historians do debate a little bit about what the colony in 1788 was supposed to be for. Was it just to get rid of convicts, or was it supposed to be a base for the British Empire? But they mostly concentrate on kind of British legal and political negotiations behind that decision. What I discovered, though, was that the British government, who had been thinking about a New South Wales colony for some time, they were actually triggered in the end to actually go ahead with it in 1786 because of some intelligence that they'd bought from a spy in Europe. Now, it's pretty normal for the British government to buy their intelligence. They don't have something like MI6 back in the 18th century, so they buy their intelligence from informants all over Europe. What I was stunned by was this particular piece of evidence that kind of triggers the whole New South Wales decision was bought from a spy mistress, not a spy master, which I think that I probably assumed at some point it was going to be a spy master. But it comes from Marguerite Wolters. And then I was very intrigued that she would have been the provider of the intelligence, that the British government kind of knew all about her, and then it clearly had been buying intelligence from her for a while. And then I just became intrigued about her life. You know, how could she have had the connection? What was her life like as a kind of illicit gatherer of information and a seller of information? And then this whole kind of world opened up for me. Then I realized that she wasn't just a spy herself, but was in charge of agents all over the continent, from Vienna to Madrid, and particularly around French ports.
Like a female James Bond from the Netherlands.
Exactly. Well, she was sort of more like, M. She was in charge of all these other little James Bonds everywhere else. And I just kind of thought that there might have been mistakes in how she'd been described, but she really was seen to be the boss. The piece of intelligence that she did then send to Britain in, I think, 1782 was to say, look, the French Navy looked like they're rearming, even though they had promised Britain about 15 years beforehand that they wouldn't rearm, and so that they would try and maintain a kind of a peaceful relationship with Britain for the foreseeable future. But Marguerite's spies discovered that the French Navy was secretly rearming in quite a substantial way. The British government then sent Phillip himself as a spy as well to kind of back up that intelligence, and he confirmed it. And so they think, okay, the French are rearming. That means that they're going to try and grow their empire, even though they kind of promised that they wouldn't be growing at this point in time. They'd be a threat to the British Empire. We need to make our claim in the new world after the loss of Americas, and that's going to be in the South Pacific. And so sort of moving backwards, you can sort of see that there's a train of events that lead from New South Wales establishment to Marguerite Wolters.
Yeah.
So I was totally intrigued by her. Yeah.
And you thought, I want to know more about her and would like to write a book about her.
I would.
Yeah.
I would. So currently, we don't quite know what the book's going to look like, because what I have discovered in the meantime, I've not been over to Europe since this discovery yet. What I discovered that there are stacks and stacks of her intelligence reports that she sold to the British government in the British archives. So I know that they exist. I got someone to take some digitized, photos of them and send them over to me. They're all handwritten in French, and they look like to be at least 50 files written by her in various departments of the British archives. So that's something. What I don't know is what I will be able to find about her personal life. So that's all still a bit of a mystery for me.
Yeah, we know that she was born in the 1730s.
Yeah, I kind of backtrack, and I guess that she probably is born around the 1730s. We know that she's also marries a man called Dirk Wolters in about the 1750s. And he is the one who owns this business, really, which is a spy business with agents all around Europe. And he already has this relationship with the British government. And so they kind of work together for about 20 years of their marriage. But Dirk dies in 1771. And I think the British government assumed that the whole agency would then go to his kind of deputy or some other spy, male spy would step up. But it turned out that Marguerite just took over the business from her husband once he died. And then she continues it really as the leader of this whole kind of group of spies for at least, nearly for another 20 years into the French Revolution. She's still sending missives to the French government about what, to the British government, sorry, about what the French are doing.
Wow, impressive. This sounds like a movie.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so, but I will need to have a little bit more personal information about her, which I'm a little bit worried may not exist. Partly I'm worried because it looks like she definitely was born and married and died and gave birth to a daughter in Rotterdam. And so the status of Rotterdam archives, as I'm sure your Dutch listeners know, is a little bit unstable. I'm hoping that whatever kind of basic at least life data may be in The Hague, in the National Archive. But going to Rotterdam after what happened to a lot of documents and archives there may be a bit risky. But I'm really looking forward to revisiting Rotterdam. I went there in the 90s. I've not been back for more than 20 years. So it'll be great to see Rotterdam, even though it's a very, very different Rotterdam, obviously, than Marguerite would have known, and just try and imagine her life there.
Yeah. Have you planned your trip already?
Not exactly which month, but it'll be definitely next year sometime. I can't go yet this year, but I'm really looking forward to next year going.
Yeah. Maybe someone is listening and thinks, hey, Margarita Wolters, I have heard about her, or someone in my family, she's from Rotterdam. I don't know. Maybe someone can help. That will be awesome.
Please get in touch with me, katefulliger@acu. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll put your email address on our website, sbs.com.au/Dutch, and we hope for the best. And please keep in touch and let us know as soon as you know more about this very special lady.
Yeah, I would love to come back and tell you more about Marguerite, yes.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you.
Wil je nog meer soortgelijke verhalen? Luister via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify of waar je je podcasts dan ook vandaan haalt.